how to live a life of miracles. Hallelujah. Because in your lifetime, you will come across a day when you will need a miracle. Hallelujah. You don't have to live too long to come to such a place. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight. We thank you for your word, which you have exalted above all things and all else. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight. We thank you, O God, that all doubts will flee at the encounter with the Word of God. I pray tonight that you will give us grace to believe, grace to see, and grace to receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Right, so I was sharing with you how to position yourself for a life of miracles. Amen. God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. And we were reading from John chapter 6 and understanding how to experience miracles in your life. Because as I was saying, in this life, there will always come a time in everyone's life where your back is to the wall, where you need a miracle, where from a certain point onwards, your efforts, personal efforts are finished, whom you know has exhausted its potential, you know, and your qualifications have given you what they can give you, you know, and your skin color has exhausted what it can bring you, and your connections and friendships and even where you live has also produced what it can. And from that point on, you need something above you. You need something supernatural. You need something like a God who works miracles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To take over from that point and do what he can and what only he can do for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you have to believe it, because even if you don't believe it, you'll still come to that place. Hallelujah. When you come to that place, only two things will happen. Either you will go on to believe and trust in a God who can work miracles, or you're going to give up and surrender yourself and your fate to life and to whatever life has for you. Unfortunately, many people do that. But tonight, I want to encourage you to believe in miracles and to believe God for miracles in your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I gave you some points. Number one is that you have to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, isn't it? After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. Now, it is this multitude that ended up experiencing the miracles. Hallelujah. So, you need to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Number two, you need to be very bold and what? Courageous. Hallelujah. Because as soon as you start to lend yourself to believing in miracles, you're going to be challenged. You know, sometimes even the situation gets worse. You know, but a bad situation which you can do nothing about, you shouldn't be afraid when it gets worse. Because even if it didn't get worse, you don't have a solution anyway. Are you getting what I'm saying? So whether it is bad, badder, or baddest, you shouldn't really worry. That's not where the difference, it shouldn't make a difference. What should matter is how big is the God you believe in, and the faith you have in him for miracles. Hallelujah. Are you understanding me? Right. Then the next one is that you need to be a believer in miracles. Isn't it? You have to believe in miracles. The Bible says, even though Jesus had so many people that that needed to be fed, and the means to feed them was so little, you know, the Bible says he himself knew what he would do. So you need to believe that if God has allowed you to come to such a crossroad in your life and come to a point like that in your life, then God himself knows what he will do. Hallelujah. You need to believe it, that God himself knows what he will do. He knows just how to get you out of that situation. He knows just how to get you out of that trouble. He knows just how to map a way forward when you think the road has come to a dead end. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what he will do. God was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and taking them to a promised land that he had promised them. Then he brought them, they were following a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So as far as they were concerned, they hadn't missed the directions at all. They were following God, and following God brought them to a place where right before them was the sea, and right behind them were their enemies, still pursuing them relentlessly, trying to arrest them for leaving Egypt. And the people became very upset, and they turned against their leader, who was called Moses, and they were upset with him. And they said, "You brought us here to die." Yeah. And they said, "What didn't you like about the cemeteries and the graves in Egypt? You know, why do we have to come and die and be buried in this place where our relatives cannot even come?" But meanwhile, all their relatives were there. So even if they died, they would have died. The whole family would have died anyway. But they were so upset with Moses, you know, because they were sure that they had followed God. Because they had been following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. So it wasn't like they went out of their way or did something terrible or did something bad. That's not what brought them to that place. Because you don't always have to do a bad thing to come to a place where you need a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they had just been following and following and following, and following brought them right to that place. Hallelujah. But that's where your confidence in God must go up. That is where your antennas for miracles must begin to shoot up. Because if following God brings you to such a place, you should know that in him also you can find a solution. Hallelujah. And you need to believe. You need to let your faith go very high and become a believer in miracles. Hallelujah. And believe that God works miracles, and God will work a miracle for you also. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then the next one is, do not be moved by the faithlessness of others. Hallelujah. Do not be moved by others who don't seem to believe what you believe. Do you understand? And sometimes they can afford not to believe for a miracle because they are not where you are. Do you understand? Yeah, because they are not in your situation and their circumstances are not like your circumstances. So they can afford the luxury of not having faith in a God or something supreme and something greater than any source of health that they can think of. Hallelujah. But if they were to get to that place, they would also understand that unless God intervenes in this circumstance, there is indeed no hope. Hallelujah. When the people of Israel came to such a place, they were shocked when the Lord opened a way through the sea for them. Because we serve a miracle working God. Hallelujah. And God is still working miracles today. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So do not be moved. Do not be moved by people who don't believe, you know. Do not be moved by people who don't have the faith that you have. Maybe you're trusting God to be healed. Do not be moved by people who don't think that God can heal you. Hallelujah. Because they've never been so desperate to live. Do you understand? If they needed to live, like you feel the need to live, they would realize that there is a need to believe in something higher than you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So, what miracles? Well, okay, let me go on. Let me give you the next point. Next point is, do not ignore small things or small changes or small signs of a solution. Hallelujah. Do not ignore little signs of a solution. Hallelujah. Now, in the story that we were reading yesterday, the Bible said that when Jesus suggested, he says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Oh, how I love the sound of that verse. For he himself knew what he would do. Hallelujah. God knows what he would do. Tell your neighbor, God knows what he will do. Hallelujah. Amen. God knows exactly what he will do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Hallelujah. Then in the next verse, then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Hallelujah. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, not only are they 2, they are also small. You know, they are small. Yeah. It's a type of fish in my country called 1 man 1,000. I don't know if it was that kind of fish that the guy had. But it was 2 small fishes. Hallelujah. They had 5,000 people, you know, and they had 5 loaves of bread, you know. It's like the provision of bread had missed the 1,000. It got the 5 right, but it missed the 1,000. What we need is not 5, we need 5,000. How often we come to such places where the solution you appear to have for the problem that is in front of you seems woefully inadequate. So little, and it falls so far short of what you need that sometimes you don't even want to count it at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is exactly what is happening here. The Bible says, this fellow definitely said there is a lad there which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Then he quickly dismissed it and said, but what are they are so many? Among so many. What are they among so many? It's so little that we can't even begin to work with it. I mean, the bills are so high that what we have, the provision we have, my salary or whatever provision that we have towards it, it falls so far short that I even wonder if we should even begin to think of it as a solution at all. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Hallelujah. It is interesting how the person who had the solution, he was not counted. Can you see that? The one who had the solution to the problem, he was not even counted at all. They counted the men, the big guys, you know. They counted the women, probably. Well, they left the women out, women and children. But they counted the big guys, the significant people. They counted those ones. And then the lad, the little guy, who actually had what ended up becoming the solution, he was not even counted at all. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's amazing how we despise small things which hold the key often to the miracles that we need in our lives. It is amazing how you can skip, you know, the small thing that you need to do which is going to lead you down the miracle path. Do you understand? Because you're looking for big things. Because you're looking for something spectacular. You're looking for something great. Such that the small thing that you have in front of you, which is the thing that God is going to bless, which is the door that God is going to use to lead you to the miracle, often we miss that and we do not experience the miracle we need. Say amen if you understand what I'm saying. Are you getting the message tonight? So we must be careful not to ignore small things. Can I have an amen? One day there was a woman in the Bible who had a little food, you know, and then a prophet showed up and said to her that, give me that little food to eat first. And I can assure you that you will never run out of food, you know. I imagine that the woman never thought that the solution to her problem actually lay in that little bit of food that she had. In fact, she described the food as the last morsel of food she had in her house, and that she was going to eat that, and then she and her son would die. Do you understand? But she didn't realize that that last morsel of food actually held the key to the beginning of a life of miracles that was going to begin from that day. Do you understand? She despised the morsel of food. She didn't really think much of it. That this actually held the key. But the man of God could see. He could see that this is the doorway to the miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the doorway to miracles. It is the doorway to what God can do. Hallelujah. And so he said to the woman, you go bring that small thing anyway. Go and bring the small bit of food that you have. You just bring that to me. And the woman brought it. And the Bible says from that day, miracles began to happen in her life. Are you understanding the word of God? Her whole life changed because the food just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and she was never in need. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God often puts small things. When you come to a place where you need a miracle, you need to ask yourself, what is that small thing I may have that holds the key to my miracle? Are you understanding what I'm saying? What is that small thing I may need to do? What is the small thing I may be despising? What is the small effort? What is that small thing that I need to do that will trigger the miracle? What is the small line that God has given me, which if I can just take hold of, will bring me out of the situation? Sometimes it's an idea, very small idea. Sometimes it's a thought, just a very simple thought. A very simple thought that will actually, if you just follow it, will take you out of this trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes the idea may be so casual, may look so ordinary, like the woman's food. I mean, the one she had the previous day did not bring her a miracle. The one she had the day before did not bring her a miracle. So how could the one that she has today, which may actually be a piece of what she had yesterday, how could that suddenly change and hold the key to a miracle? But that is the way God works. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is a God who is able to take little things and turn them into miracles to bless your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before God, little can become enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Before God, something little that you don't think much of, a little effort that you don't think much of. Because sometimes you think of the other bigger things you've done that didn't bring you anywhere. So when someone is suggesting a small thing, you can't believe, I've done even greater things, it didn't bring me anything. How much more this little thing? There was one guy like that who needed a miracle. He was sick. He was an army general, but he was sick. Because sometimes you can have great credentials in one area of life, but be very sick in another area of life. So you seem to be doing very well, maybe in your career, you understand, but you're not doing very well at all in your health. Or you look healthy, but you're not doing well in your marriage. Or your marriage seems to be fine, but something else, financially, it's like everything is okay, except that you don't have money to live the life. You understand? Yeah. So sometimes it's like that. And you may be doing very well in one area of your life, but you may be so sick in another area of your life. And that was the story of this general, you know. And being a general of his caliber, I imagine how he would have gone to all the top doctors in his day. Anybody who was anyone who knew anything about his condition may have been given a chance to try and to do something, give some medication, give some diagnosis, try some tests and try something. So many things, do you see? Until he came to a prophet. And then the prophet wouldn't even come out to see him. The prophet sent someone to tell him that he should go take a bath, you know. And the general regarded that as an insult, you know. An insult because he probably was thinking, I mean, what is this guy trying to tell me? I came all the way from my place, my city, to come to see him. And he wouldn't even come out to see me, you know. Instead, he sends a message to tell me to go bath, you know. Can you imagine if you came to my house for prayer and then I send my son, you know, to come and tell you, go and bath. That would be the last day in the church. Is it not true?
Yeah.
So the man was told he should go and bath. He should go and take a bath in a particular river. And the man was just thinking, I mean, if it's about bathing, come on. There are better places to take a bath. Do you understand? Where I've come from, I have a swimming pool. And I have a diamond-shaped swimming pool. I have a heart-shaped swimming pool. I have a hot shower. I have a hot tub. I mean, so many options. If it's about a bath, I mean, one has been bathing. Are you getting it? And so he got upset and he picked up his stuff and he was just turning away from the miracle because he wouldn't regard that small step he needed to take until a little girl, hallelujah, until a little girl who came with him said to him that, Master, if this man had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? If someone could show you something very difficult you could do, but which is supposed to bring you healing, would you not do it? And I believe the girl was speaking with confidence because having been with the man, she probably knew that the man had done much more difficult things which didn't lead to his healing anyway. So she couldn't understand why this little thing was such a big problem for this man. But that's just the way it is. That sometimes we rise up too high above what God can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Looking for God in places where we don't need to find Him or we don't need to search for Him. Despising the little things that are before us can cost us the miracle. So the man decided. He was probably angry with a frown on his face, but decided to take the bath anyway. And he went into that place, went into that river, and took a bath. The Bible says he went in there, was supposed to go in there 7 times or so. And on the 7th time when he came, his disease was gone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That just because it's complex for you, doesn't mean it's complex for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because you can't see a way out doesn't mean God also cannot see a way out. Just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean that God also cannot figure it out. He is God and you are you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He is God and you are you. And when a human being is relating with God, you should expect God to be remarkably different from you in solution, in potential solutions, in power, in his ability to bring about a change. You must expect there to be a remarkable, distinct, large difference between what God can do and what you can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why he's called God. Hallelujah. That is why we serve a God who works miracles. That is why miracles were a part of Jesus' life. Do you understand? Not just teachings, because he was not the first teacher. Although his teachings were more powerful and remarkably different from the other teachers, one day he taught, the Bible says that someone said, this man does not teach like one of the scribes. Do you understand? That his teachings are a little different from the teachings that we are used to. Nevertheless, they were used to teachings. But there was another component in his ministry that he brought to bear in addition to the teaching, which the others didn't have. And that is what set him apart from everybody else. And that is the miracles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you're following Jesus, you must not just expect good teachings from him. You must not just expect good counsel from him. But you must expect him also, and expect to experience miracles also from him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Something that only God can do. Something that only God can change. Something that only God can touch. Are you hearing me? Yeah. When you read through the Bible, you see all kinds of miracles that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Amen. All kinds of miracles, from healing people with blind eyes, you know, even people who were born blind. There was one young man in John chapter 9. The Bible says he was born blind. You know, he was born blind. No one could point to the cause of his blindness. In fact, some people had tried to rationalize it and they couldn't figure it out. And so some assumed that it must have been something bad his parents did. Do you see? They said that it must have been something bad that his parents did for this boy to be born blind. Maybe his parents did something terrible. And they had made that assumption. But Jesus said, no, it's not because of anything that his parents did. But this is a particular case that is an opportunity to demonstrate the power and the glory of God. To demonstrate what God can do. Hallelujah. So that tells me that sometimes our challenges are just mere opportunities to demonstrate God's power and what God can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That God sees your difficulties and God sees your challenges as an opportunity for him to demonstrate his power and his glory in your life. Hallelujah. Especially when everybody knows that you have that problem. Isn't it? When everyone knows that you have that problem, you set the stage for God to be glorified. Because then when we see a solution, we know that we can trace it to only one source. Are you hearing me? That we can trace it only to God. And so that young man, the Bible says he met Jesus, and then Jesus healed him. So it brought a lot of controversy. People were asking him, how do you know that he healed you? And the guy said, well, I don't know. I just know that once I was blind and now I can see. You know, once I was blind, but now I can see. You know, and then the people were asking him, but how do you know that Jesus healed you? Do you know this Jesus? They were asking all kinds of questions. And at a point, he even asked, why? Do you also want to be a follower? If you want to be a follower, just keep quiet and follow. You get it? Just don't make so much noise about this. As far as I'm concerned, I was blind, but now I see. They said, a man called Jesus, he told me that I should go and do what? Go wash or something like that. And I went and I washed and I came back and I can see. That is what I know. That's the only explanation I have. They sent for his parents and the parents didn't want trouble. When they brought the parents, said, tell us, this your son. Is this your son? They say, yes. Was he born blind or not? They say, yes. Now, Did Jesus make him see? They said, well, he's of age. Ask him. Yeah, don't ask me such questions. Hallelujah. Amen. He's of age. Ask him. Because when you know a miracle, when you've known a miracle, you just know it. That this is what God has done. Only Jesus can do this. Hallelujah. There was a woman who had, the Bible describes him as a woman with the issue of blood. You know, and this is a woman who definitely had some gynecological problem or other. The Bible says she had been bleeding for 12 years. 12 solid years. Like from 1 year before Jason was born till now. Do you understand? Yeah, 12 solid years. Do you see? And the woman had gone from doctor to doctor and had done test after test. The Bible says she was not improving, but rather was getting worse. She was not improving, but was getting worse. Until she came one day to a place where she saw Jesus on his way to go and help another person. Somebody's daughter was dying. And Jesus was on his way to heal the person's daughter. You can imagine how annoyed the person must have been when this woman was interrupting the procession. Because after that, somebody came to say the girl is dead. But this woman said to herself, I may have seen many doctors. I may have tried many things. But I have a feeling that if I can just touch the hem of this man's garment, something will change in my life. She was a woman who believed in miracles. She believed that the fact that I've tried it for 12 years, that I've seen doctors and specialists for 12 years, the fact that I've not been cured in 12 years doesn't mean I can't be cured now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when it comes to miracles, it does not matter what the track record is. It doesn't matter what the history of the disease is. It doesn't matter what the history of the situation is. Because often the miracles we need are more than diseases and sicknesses. Sometimes you are not unhealthy. You are not sick. But you need a miracle. Do you understand? You are not diseased, but you need a miracle. Hallelujah. And this woman said, if I can just connect to this man by touching just the hem, he doesn't even need to see me. He doesn't even need to lay his hands on me. But just according to my faith and what I believe, if I can just get that close and touch this man's garments, I believe that something will change about my situation. And tonight I'm saying to you that if you have that kind of faith, concerning any situation or any challenge that besets you, I want you to expect that God will touch you and that your situation will never again be the same. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There were so many people Jesus healed. Some of them couldn't hear. The Bible says Jesus touched their ears and they could hear. There were people who were suffering all kinds of neurological problems. There was one particular kid who would convulge and foam around fire. The Bible says it was because there were demons in him. Do you understand? And the demons will cause that condition. And the Bible says his father brought him to Jesus and Jesus healed that man. So you beyond giving them nice teachings, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are this, seek ye first the kingdom and all that, Jesus was also showing them that God is a healer. And God still heals people today. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There were two blind guys. They met Jesus Christ. They shouted after him. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy. Some people even tried to shut them down. The Bible said they cried out the more. Say, you can't stop us because you've not been in our situation. Because often when you've not been in a certain situation before, you will not understand why someone is going everywhere and going any length to find a solution. Because you haven't been there before. But you just imagine if you didn't have an ability to see at this age, you just imagine it. If you couldn't see, what would you do? And you hear about someone who peradventure can help you. He just might be able to help you. Would you not pursue him? Would you not follow him? Would you not yell and call for help? And what would you say to the one who says you should keep quiet? You tell him, you keep quiet. You keep quiet. Because I'm going to shout until he helps me. Hallelujah. And tonight I want you not to give up, but to believe. Hallelujah. To believe. Don't let anybody tell you that I've prayed for you before and nothing happened. You should still believe. You should still believe. You should still believe. Jesus healed people from the least in sicknesses all the way up to the ultimate. That is to people who died. Hallelujah. And in between, anything that was between the two conditions, Jesus still healed. He healed a man whose mind was off. Mental diseases, mental disorders, you know, which actually covers a whole range of things, including unexplained depression, you know, a feeling of heaviness that comes upon people, you know, from time to time, that makes them shut down. Do you know, you just shut down and you are just depressed and unhappy and just closed up for no reason. You can't explain it. Some people have seasons when they don't want to see anybody. They don't want to see people. And a certain mean-spirited behavior just comes upon them. They will not respond to anybody. They don't want to be in public. They are not nice to people. They are just horrible to be with. It's an evil spirit. But Jesus healed those conditions also. And he healed the man with the most extreme case of mental disorder. And Jesus always took on the extreme cases just to show you that anything between that extreme and zero is also conquerable by him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why Jesus raised the dead. Jesus raised the dead. Dead people at four stages, four levels. One of them was the just dead situation, which is the girl who died. Her father's name was Jairus. And the Bible says that Jesus was on his way to heal her when this lady with the gynecological problem interrupted the procession. By the time Jesus was done with the woman, because, you know, Jesus wouldn't go on. After the woman had been healed, he started to conduct a search. Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? You know. And that is what got some of the disciples, you know, upset. And they were just thinking, what does it even matter? Why are you even asking such a question at this time? We are on our way to an emergency. That's what we need to focus on. And you're standing here asking, who touched me? Who touched me? There's a crowd here, Lord. Can you not see? Jesus said, stop it. Don't rush me. Somebody touched me. We're going to find that person before we leave here. You know, because he is the master. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Do you understand? And Jesus was not in a hurry. So by the time he finished dealing with that lady anyway, they sent somebody to come and tell him, he shouldn't even bother to come because the girl is dead. Jesus said, no, let's go. So that was a fresh, fresh death. And when Jesus got there, he just said that the little girl is asleep, you know. And then, you know, people started memory. You are late and you have now come. You know, when you've come to, you're coming to annoy us and start to say, you know, disrespect us by calling this condition sleep. Do you think we are children here? We don't know what is going on. Jesus removed all these doubters from the place, you know, to think whatever they would think. And then he went to the room and said, little girl, arise. And the girl woke up. Hallelujah. Then Jesus took it a step further. There was another case where a woman in a city called Nain. In this case, it was not a just dead situation. This was dead and then they had sufficient time to do the funeral. And now they were on their way to the cemetery. And Jesus met the funeral procession. You know, and when he saw the mother of the boy who was dead, he had compassion on her. And the Bible says he came, he told them to stop, they stopped. Then he came and touched the coffin and he said, young man, arise. And the guy stood up. He just got up like that. That's somebody who had been dead however long, I don't know, but at least there was sufficient time. They had finished the funeral. They were just going to the cemetery. You get it? Then Jesus took it even a step further, where his own friend Lazarus, a place where he had been eating lunch, you know, from time to time, because every pastor has some place where he visits from time to time to eat couscous and other delicacies. Hallelujah. So this was a place where Jesus had been eating his couscous and fried chicken and all kinds of things like that. And then one day, the guy, one of the brothers, or no, the brother of the sisters, he died. When he died, they told Jesus about it. Then Jesus decided to wait a little. Knowing what the custom was, he knew that after 3 days, the guy would be buried. After 3 days, Jesus decided that I'm going now to go wake this guy up. Even the guy's sisters, Lazarus, they said, Lord, if you had been here, do you understand? If you had been here, because we've seen the other situation where the girl was dead, fresh. Maybe she was dead, but her spirit hadn't gone so far. Do you understand? So you just call the spirit back into the body. But this is a different case. This one, dead, buried, case closed. Jesus said, I did that on purpose. I wanted you to wait. I wanted to wait and come and raise this guy up. So Jesus went and he raised this man up. That is Lazarus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He called him, Lazarus, come for now. He was dead for 4 days, you know, and he was supposed to be stinking by then. But Jesus raised him up to show us that there is no limit. There is no situation that is too bad. There is nothing like it's now out of anybody's hands. There is nothing like it's beyond the reach of the Lord. And when people wouldn't believe it, Jesus now took it to the highest place where now he himself would die. Do you understand? Because now when the healer, the one who raises the dead, is dead himself, then now you know that this is the ultimate of situations. And then he dies. Day one, day two, then day three, he rises from the dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Jesus just took on that array of situations, so many different situations, just to show us that really there is nothing and no situation that can confront a human being that Christ does not have power to arrest and to change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you are a follower of Christ, you need to believe such things. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, give us that verse, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says that this Jesus we are talking about, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only people who are excluded from this are those who do not believe that he can do this. But for anybody who believes it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And what he did yesterday, he will do today, and he will do it forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he healed yesterday, he will heal today, and he will always heal. If he healed yesterday, he will heal today, he will always heal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe you're sitting here tonight, and you're just thinking and saying, well, Pastor, I don't have a problem. All the situations you've described relates to someone being sick. But I am not sick, but I still need a miracle. And I don't hear you say anything about Jesus performing such miracles. Well, I read a verse in the Bible today that gives an answer to that. It's in John chapter 20 and the last two verses. John chapter 20 and the last two verses. The Bible says that there are many other things that Jesus did. Do you understand? There are many other things. He says, there are many other signs. Many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these ones are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Do you understand? So what has been written, the ones that have been written are a selected few. Do you understand? A selected few that are remarkable testimonies, you see, which depict the extreme cases. So you can believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if you can believe that he's still the same, then your little problem is not a problem for him at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. Hallelujah. The next verse is in chapter 21, in the very last verse of John chapter 21. John chapter 21. There's a similar verse over there. And it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. You see, there are also many other things which Jesus did. So the healings of bodies couldn't have been all that Jesus did.
Yeah.
You understand? But there are many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. If we were to write every single thing that Jesus did, even the world could not contain the books that will be written.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you tonight to reach out to the Lord and trust him for the miracle that you need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The miracle that you need. Whether it's a miracle in your body, whether it's a miracle in your circumstances, whether it's a miracle concerning your relationships, whether it's a miracle relating to your children, whether it's a miracle relating to your family, you know, members, people who are not here. Jesus specializes in touching people that he is not near. Do you understand? One time when somebody was sick, a centurion, he had his servant who was sick and was critically ill. The Bible says he was sick and was almost dying, you know. And then Jesus decided to make his way over there. He was going there to go and pray for the person. And then the centurion sent him and said, you don't even have to come. You don't have to be here. Just stay where you are and just say something, because that's where the power is. The power is in what I believe and your word. When the two meet, do you understand? When my faith meets with your word, it doesn't matter where the meeting is. But in that place, at that place, there is always a miracle. Something supernatural happens. Are you understanding me? So he said, you don't have to come. So maybe where you need a miracle is not even here. Perhaps you need a miracle of salvation for a loved one, which is the greatest miracle of all. The miracle that translates someone like you and places you in a position to go to heaven, that puts you on your way to heaven, is the greatest miracle of all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the greatest miracle of all that a person can believe that he is a sinner and that Jesus Christ died to cleanse us from our sins, and that if we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he will come into our hearts and our lives and cleanse us from that sin and save us and deliver us from hell. That is a great miracle if a person can believe that. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it may be that that's what you need for someone, or you may need a miracle for someone who is not here. But God is not limited by distance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not limited by time. It does not even matter that they are sleeping now and you are awake now. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is God all by himself. He created the world, and he actually strategically designed the world the way it is. So some people can be asleep and some people can be awake. You see, that's why you see all these jobs that have 24-hour shifts and some go in the morning. They all learned it from God. Do you see? Yeah, that's how to keep the world running and to keep people praising you at every stage in time. There'll be some people somewhere worshiping. Even the days on Sunday. Some people are already in Sunday now. They've even finished church. You know, others are entering Sunday as we speak, and we are still in Saturday, about to go into Sunday. But God made it that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I believe that tonight God is going to work a miracle in your life. That is my faith for you tonight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm going to believe God and trust God. And we're all going to pray together and believe God for a miracle. And we're going to mention that particular situation before God and say, Lord, this situation I lift before you. I lift before you. And I believe you that you are the same yesterday. You are the same today. You are the same forever. You do not change. Means what he was doing yesterday, he's still doing today. Do you believe it? That what he was doing yesterday, he's still doing today. What he did yesterday, or what you have heard him do for another person, he's still able to do it for you. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight and let's pray as we look up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Just begin to pray, everybody, and thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Just believe God for a miracle tonight and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I believe God's word is still the same. I expect a miracle today. For with God, nothing is impossible. It's not possible to be impossible. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Makabo Shandari Alababa. I expect a miracle today. Oh, yes, Lord. I expect a miracle today. To those who believe and say, oh, I believe God's word is still the same. Oh, 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 I expect a miracle today. Oh, I expect a miracle.
is able, more than able. He can handle what concerns me today. He is able, more than able. He can handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. Oh yes, Lord, He's able. Sing it again. He's able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He's able, more than able. He can handle everybody to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able. He can handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able. Much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, oh, to make me what He wants me to be. Yes, to make me, He can make me what He wants me to be. Make me what He wants me to be. Make me what He wants. To make me what He wants me to be. He'll make me what He wants me to be.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just begin to thank Him? Begin to thank Him. And begin to thank Him and say, Lord, I know that You are able. Yes, because with God, nothing is impossible. It is not possible to be impossible before God. There is no knee that bows, that refuses to bow before the Lord. There is no situation, no matter how old it is, no matter how deep its roots are, no matter how complex its presentation is, there is nothing that is too much for the Lord. And if you have come this far tonight, I don't want you to leave without trusting God for a miracle and trusting God to touch you one way or the other and to touch that situation one way or the other, because the power of God knows no bounds. The power of God knows no limits. The power of God cannot be limited by any situation or circumstance. There is no situation that exalts and lifts itself above the power and the knowledge of God. God rules in the affairs of men. God is above every situation that can ever present itself before you. The Bible says his name, the name of Jesus, is above every other name. If it has a name, it bows and it surrenders. It recognizes the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And tonight, that knee is going to bow to his name in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you are able to think or ask. God can exceed your expectations. God can blow your mind. God can surprise you. God can shock you. God can shock you. God can surprise you beyond your expectations. And tonight is a night for that in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is healing. God is healing people. His power is already at work tonight. God is healing people. Chronic diseases, diseases of the blood, diseases in the family, diseases you've always had, and you've come to accept it as part of you and part of your life. I want you to know that God is healing them tonight in the name of Jesus. God is healing it tonight in the name of Jesus. God is healing it tonight. Yes, God is healing. Yes, chest pain, arm problems, leg problems, foot problems, eye problems. God is healing them. God is healing abdominal issues, women's issues, gynecological issues. God is touching them. And God is also touching issues of the mind. Depression, unhappiness, God is touching them. God is touching financial issues. God is touching debts in lives of people. God is touching joblessness. God is touching and affecting people in all these areas. God is touching people who need a promotion, people who need a raise on the job, people who need favor with their bosses. God is touching everyone tonight. Everyone tonight that you're believing God for, anyone, even the person does not need to be here tonight. He's not excluded, because if your faith can connect to God on his behalf, he can also experience a miracle tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your miracles tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Makamoro shakafala babara musataria. Mamo sakafala mushenderiala babaha. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yes. Situations with landlords. Situations with tenants. Situations with friends. Some of you, the Lord is restoring the friendship that has been stolen from you. Something, a relationship that was precious to you, God is restoring it tonight. Oh, yes. All kinds of miracles the Lord is performing tonight as we look up to him for it. As we look up to him for it in the name of Jesus. Even grades at school. Grades at school are being affected by the power of God tonight. In the name of Jesus. Being affected by the power of God tonight. In the name of Jesus. The power of God is coming upon us. Upon all of us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More. To make me what he wants me to be. He is able, he is able, more than able to
cherish what concerns me today. He's able, He is able, more than able. He can do anything that comes by.
I don't know what is before you tonight, but He is able,
more than able.
Yes, to do much more than I could ever dream. Come on, sing it again. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. What are the issues in your life tonight? He is able, more than able. He can handle it. He can handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever do. Yes, to make me, yes, to make me what He wants me to be. Yes, to make me what You make me what He wants me to be. Yes, to make me what He wants me to be. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord. And begin to give Him thanks tonight. Begin to give Him thanks tonight. Begin to think, thank You, Jesus. Mashakabala baburushnariya. Oh yes, Lord. Makafanduriala basatariala babaya. Oh yes, Lord, we thank You tonight. Thank Him for Your healing. Thank Him for Your deliverance. Thank Him for the end of those sleepless nights. Thank Him for the end of that situation in your life. Thank Him for experiencing His power tonight. Just thank Him. His power is present tonight in your life. And begin to thank Him for it. It is your thanksgiving to the Lord that brings the breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. We thank You. We thank You. Oh yes, Lord. Masakafanariala baba. Ikamoro seteriala babara mamushatariala babaya. Hey, masokotoriala masheteria. Imolo musatariala babara baba shaneria. Oh yes, Lord. Oh makamoro musatariala babanderia. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. To make me what He wants me. Yes, Lord, Amashakaba, Imalamama. Yes, His power is here tonight. Oh, yes, Lord. Makabarabalaba Purushakaba. Makanorobo Satariala Mashatariala Babarama Saka. Ikamoro Sakanariala Babaro Sakaba. Imoro Sendariala Mashatariala Baba. Ikamara Mamoro Sakafaraba Paramama. I am Ruseke Farababa. Imoruseke Neriala Baba. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I believe that the Lord is touching us tonight. God is touching many lives. God is visiting many situations. Some of the situations are chronic. They are old. But tonight, the power of God is coming into your life. It's visiting you. Whether you feel something or not, God's power is not validated by your feelings. God's power is not validated by something as unreliable as your feelings. God's power is only affected by your faith. It's a matter of what you believe tonight. So yes, you may feel something, but I want your faith to go beyond your feelings. Let your faith rest in His Word, because of what His Word says and because of what He's able to do, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for miraculous situations. Thank you for testimonies that we're going to hear hereafter, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for testimonies, stories on end. Oh God, we're going to hear them, and we thank you. We receive them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I rebuke every sickness here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I speak to demons and evil spirits that have attacked our lives, attacked our marriages, attacked our relationships, attacked our finances. In the name of Jesus, I speak to them and I command them to leave your people alone. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of the evil one over the lives of your people, in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that answers and responds to claims to the lives of your people, in the name of Jesus. I pray and I cancel death in the name of Jesus. Every disease that causes death, we cancel it tonight, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We speak, O God. We address blood diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, Lord, and other conditions like that. In the name of Jesus, we speak to them. We speak to them to cease their oppression of your people, in the name of Jesus. We send forth your word into the blood streams of your people to correct the blood and to correct, bring about a healing, in the name of Jesus. We speak to hormones tonight to hear the word of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Spirit, and to respond to the power of God tonight, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. We speak to pain tonight. Pain. Pain, go away tonight. Pain, go away tonight. Pain, go away tonight. In the name of Jesus, leave our bodies tonight. Pain in the head, migraines, in Jesus' name. We address migraines tonight, in the name of Jesus. Evil spirits that cause migraines, we command you to leave the people of God alone, in the name of Jesus. We break God's people loose from the power of migraines. Sudden excruciating headaches, in the name of Jesus, we address those two, in Jesus' name. Back pain, Lord, in Jesus' name. We speak to back pain in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave. Skin rashes in the name of Jesus. We command skin rashes to leave the people of God right now, in the name of Jesus. We curse it to die at its roots and let the life of it go out right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pain in the waist, in the groin area, in the abdomen, in Jesus' name, we speak to you now. We speak to you now, in Jesus' name. Pain in the knees, in the ankles, in the name of Jesus, in the feet, In Jesus' name, we address you. We command you to leave. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. You are the healer of our bodies. You are the repairer of tissues. Worn tissues. You are the repairer and the restorer of our bodies. In the name of Jesus. Bring rejuvenation. In the name of Jesus. We speak against premature aging tonight. In the name of Jesus. We speak against the syndrome that causes your people to grow old before their time, to cause their bodies to wear out before their time. In the name of Jesus, we pray for strength, renewal of youthfulness. In the name of Jesus, we speak to breathlessness. We ask that the breath of your people will be restored to normal. In Jesus' name. Irregular heartbeats, we address you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we speak concerning jobs tonight. We speak concerning jobs. And we send your miracle power to our jobs, to our workplaces. In the name of Jesus. And we position ourselves for a miracle. We speak concerning bonuses and pay raises. In the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the favor that turns things positively towards us. In Jesus' name. Tonight we pray for relationships, Lord. We pray for friendships in the name of Jesus that the enemy seeks to destroy. In Jesus' name, let your miracle power hit those friendships tonight. In Jesus' name. May they be restored. May they be restored. May you fix them, Lord, tonight. Let forgiveness prevail in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we speak concerning diseases that we can't name tonight. We speak concerning any sickness or disease whose symptoms are yet to manifest. We speak to that disease also to die before it forms. Before it develops, may it die in the name of Jesus. Before its symptoms show up tonight, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, against mental and emotional issues in the name of Jesus. We pray against the spirit of fear. We cast it out. We cast it out tonight. We cast out fear in the name of Jesus. People who can't sleep, who are always afraid of one thing or the other, may that spirit of fear cease to torment them tonight in the name of Jesus. Fear of falling ill, in the name of Jesus, you cease to torment the people of God. The fear of cancer, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you now to leave the people of God right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for wholeness and soundness in the minds and the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Begin to thank God, everybody. Just begin to thank Him and thank Him for your miracle in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle. Thank you. Thank you for miracles, things that only you can do. Only you can do it tonight. Only you can do. Only you can do these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word.
I sent my word, and I heal your disease.
Oh,
I am the Lord, your healer.
Come on, sing it again. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord
that healeth me. Thank you, Lord.
That healeth me.
Oh,
you are the Lord.
Yes, you are.
You are the Lord, my healer.
Come on, sing it again. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord
that healeth me.
That healeth me.
Oh,
you are the Lord.
Sent your word,
you sent your word,
and you heal my disease.
You are the Lord, my healer.
Come on, sing it again. You are the Lord,
you are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord.
You sent your word.
You sent your word, and you healed my disease.
Yes, you are.
You are the Lord, my healer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If you believe the Lord has healed you, if you believe you have received a miracle tonight, I want you to give Him thanks tonight. If you believe it, 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 just give Him thanks tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful to you tonight. Thank you for every miracle. Thank you for every supernatural occurrence that you have accomplished tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many believe you have received a miracle tonight? Hallelujah. Now, are there any people who can right now testify that maybe there's something, you came here with a condition or a situation, and you know that God has healed you? Is there anybody here like that? Is there anyone whose condition maybe can be immediately verified or checked? Is there anyone here like that? Okay. Nobody here. You can. What is, come and share it with us. What exactly did the Lord do for you? Come, come. Come and just tell us what the Lord has done for you. Share with us what the Lord has done.
Okay, I got a bit angry. And usually when I get angry, my head aches. I don't know. I was kind of being quiet. And then when you talked about the headache, I noticed that it kind of bends like pepper. And I felt the pepper just going down. And I'm
okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. It's a healing. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, if a grown-up person comes to say that the Lord has healed her, it's not like a little child. It's a grown-up. She must know what she's saying. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that you're going to see miracles in your life. You're going to see situations change. Some of you are going to get phone calls that will change your life in this coming week. So many fantastic things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, one of the things I taught you tonight is that you should not despise small things. Can you understand what I'm saying? Don't despise small things. You know, I had two more things to share with you. But I'll probably share them tomorrow. But one of the things is that Jesus took the little bread, even though it was very small. The Bible said He took it and then He gave thanks. Do you understand? That is how to receive miracles. Which is that you see a little sign of a solution and you say that, Lord, I thank you. I have the solution. And then that gratitude has a way of growing the solution and growing it into more than enough to meet the need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I want you to believe that God has healed you. You have a testimony. Share your testimony. You have a microphone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesterday when Bishop was preaching about miracles and he was saying some of the miracles are not necessarily healing or something, but it's a need that you have. And as he was saying, he also said that we shouldn't despise little things. So as he was preaching, I thought about a very great need that I had.
Wow.
And the Lord dropped the name of somebody in my mind. But I just thought, this person cannot help me with this situation.
Wow.
But then the name just kept coming. So on our way to church today, I sent a text to the person. I said, I have this need. I need help with this particular thing. And as I was sending, I was thinking, I don't know if this... And the person responded, yes, with 3 exclamation points. Yes, 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 I can help you with this situation.
Oh, wow.
So I believe that's the answer to my prayer.
Hallelujah. It's a miracle. Amen.
Amen.
Because God, some of us don't need maybe a healing in your body as others do. But you need some miracle. Do you understand? You need something, God, to give you an idea or to point you in the right direction, as her testimony says. Hallelujah. Who to ask? Who to speak to make a difference? Hallelujah. And some of the places you may not even think that there's a solution there. Like they were counting the people. They said they should have said 5,000 men plus a lot. But they didn't say that. They said 5,000 men. Meanwhile, the one who really had the solution, he was there. He was not even counted. They didn't think of him as being anything. But he held the key to the solution and to the miracle we're reading about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I believe that that is a great testimony. It is from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So expect such miracles also. Hallelujah. I don't know what your need is, but if it is a need for you, if it's a problem for you, you have a right to expect a miracle to occur in that area of your life. Can I have an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Give the Lord a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Are we grateful to the Lord? Okay. Hallelujah. You may be seated.